heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. No more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen.
This next song is so true. It says, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I can't imagine how people live through this life without Jesus. How do they make it through the good times or the bad? I don't know how they do it. But I know one thing, that he is with us and we can walk with him beside us. I believe I can face anything with him on my side and him working through me. So let's just worship him this morning.
Thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but now I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty but now I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain is too high and the valley's too wide. Where I learned to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Now since I've made Jesus my all and all, oh, when I'm in trouble, on his name I'm gonna call. And if I don't trust in him, I'd be less than a man, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain is too high and the valley's too wide. Down on that's where I learned to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Can you say amen? Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Oh, he's worthy.
Rather be.
to where you are, where you are. Lord, I am free. Your holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, you're my hope and faith. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that he sees you. He hears your SOS. He hears your final cry, your plea to him. He can hear you, and he's there with you. In the midst of the dark times, in the midst of the battle, he's right there. He's there to hold your hand, to lift you up. Just let him in. Let him in and let him be who he needs to be in your life. You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. And I hear you whisper underneath your shelter. I'll be your armor. And I hear you whisper underneath your breath. And I hear your SOS, your SOS. And I will send out an army to fight. Your breath.
I've had a dollar to my name. I've had friends that walked away. And I've even lost myself a time or two. There were bridges crossed and burned, but through all the wreckage I have learned, there is one thing I can't afford to lose. If I've got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I've got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. I've seen weakness turn to strength. I've seen failures met with grace. And it's not from what I have done, it's Christ in me. A miracle I can't explain. Oh, He's given me His name. I'm the richest man that I could ever be. If I've got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I've got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. Someday that trumpet's gonna sound, and the King of Heaven will ride upon the clouds coming down. I'll hit my knees, oh Lord, then sing my soul, I'm going home. If I've got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I've got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, if you mean that, give the Lord a hand clap. Oh, He's worthy of all our praise.
In my lap for a good night hug. He calls me Dad and I call him Bub. With his faded old pillow and a bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and he says, I want to be like you. I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight. Tripping over the toys as I turn out the light. I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see. He's got a father in God, cause he's Jesus in me. Lord, I wanna be just like you, cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Got to admit, I've got so far to go. So many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems, no matter how hard I try, with all the pressures in life, I just can't get it all right. But I'm trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, filled with your tenderness. 'Cause I know that he'll learn from the things that he sees, and the Jesus he finds will be the Jesus in me. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Right now from where he stands, I may seem mighty tall, but it's only 'cause I'm learning best father of them all. I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be
Man, I want to preach to you for just a little while. I'm going to try not to hold you very long, but it goes right along with everything that we've sung this morning. You know, if you've served the Lord very long, if you've been trying to do your best, and let me say this up front, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's ever, I doubt there's a day goes by that we don't mess up in some way or another, because we're human. Some of us use that as an excuse, and that's wrong. But some of us realize we're human and we need God's help. And so when we mess up, we repent, because we know we're frail. We fall. And that's understandable. The people that scare me are those that are sitting here this morning acting like they've never failed. 'Cause you'll lie about something else. Amen. That's right. And we're human. And the problem with that is that, number one, we use that for an excuse to do what we want to do, and that's not pleasing to the Lord. And then number two, we act like that we don't ever fall, and that's not pleasing to the Lord either, because you're not being honest. Amen. God can use your falls if you'll be honest with them. Amen. I want to encourage Brother Peyton this morning. Don't ever act like the perfect dad. Oh, he's out. He's not even hearing me. Great. Oh, there he is in the back. Okay. There he is in the back. Don't act like the perfect dad, because that's going to send a false message to your boy that he has to live a way that he can't live. It's just not possible. And so if you fall, when you fall, apologize. I'm not just talking to Peyton. I'm talking to all you parents. Amen. Apologize, because it would be better for your child to know you're human, but you lean on God, than to feel like they're going to be something wrong with them because they can't be perfect like you when you're not perfect. Amen. So let God use your falls to his, let your story be for his glory. Amen. Amen. So, I want to preach to you this morning on something I've never preached on before. And in almost 40 years of preaching, I've never used this title or these scriptures, I don't believe. But the Lord dropped this in my heart early in the week. And of course, I've been hanging out with my five grandkids. And believe it or not, out of the five, the one-year-old was the easiest one to deal with. Hallelujah. Amen. And none of them were bad. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the four oldest ones took a lot of energy. Hallelujah. I could put Chef in my lap and turn on the cartoon. He's good for an hour. Right? And I did that as much as possible. But the three-year-old, Karen Zach, bought him a gerbil, which is a glorified rat. You can call it what you want to. And inevitably, I would say, Wilder, don't mess with that gerbil. Don't mess with that gerbil. Don't mess with that gerbil. And every time I found Wild, he was messing with the gerbil. Amen. One time, and y'all pray for the gerbil, because I don't know if gerbils go to heaven, but I feel like this one's going soon. Because I went upstairs, Wild got quiet. Now, Wild is the one kid, if he gets quiet, you better run. Most kids are that way, but Wild is definitely in that household. And not bad. Again, he's just 3 years old. And so when I got upstairs, the gerbil was wet. Yeah, he baptized him. That's what happens when you grow up in a pastor's home. You see things, and it makes you want to reenact them. Hello? And so the gerbil was the only thing he could pick up and put in the commode. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I actually had a blast. It was an absolute blast. Amen. We went to the park, and I'm not good at much, but I can find things for kids to do because I'm a part kid myself, you know. And so we went to the park, and it was hot. Believe it or not, this is crazy, but it's Thursday there. Wednesday, it was in the 60s. Friday, it was in the 50s. Thursday, it was 91 degrees. 100% humidity. Hotter than the devil. And just humid. Just you couldn't hardly breathe. So I thought the best thing to do is take them to the park. Yeah, there's a method to the madness. And I set up obstacle courses at the park and timed them to see who could win. Yeah, the oldest three, we're in such a competition. I told them, I said, whoever wins, five in a row. Oh, yeah, I made this thing last for a long time. Gets to pick what we do next. And son, the competition was on. You understand me? Sailor, 7 years old, she wasn't letting them boys win nothing. They were going to absolutely win to beat her. And so what I didn't think about, though, was that Wilder, three, wanted in on the competition. So, you know, it took Hudson, you know, 41 seconds, Griffin, 47 seconds, Sailor, 50 seconds, Wilder, 3 minutes. You know, you understand. But, man, them kids slept so good Thursday night. What you talking about? When Tammy got there, they're all just laying around on the couch. And I'm smiling, man, because I'm having the time of my life, you know. She said, what's going on? I said, hey, leave it to me. I got them. Amen. I may not cook for them. We're going to eat out, but they're going to be wore out by the time we go to bed. I promise you. Amen. And so, anyway, we had a blast. Had a great time. But during the middle of all this, I got to thinking, what kind of memories am I leaving for my grandkids? And I know you think that's kind of carnal, but when's the last time you thought about how your people are going to think about you when you're gone? Because believe it or not, you're preaching your own funeral right now. Believe it or not, the people around you, not just kids, people around you, they've got an idea of who you really are, not just who you show up to at church. Woo! Amen. Because we see who you want us to see. They know who you really are. What are they going to think about you when you die? And I'm going to be careful. I'm trying not to get my feelings too involved in this, but there ain't nothing that aggravates me more. And I've done hundreds, and I don't mean, it's not an exaggeration. I've done hundreds of funerals, hundreds. And one thing that irritates me beyond shadow of a doubt is somebody that get up there and bawl and cry and halfway crawl in the casket and you wouldn't even talk to them when they were alive. That bugs me beyond all shadow of a doubt. You hypocrite. Act like you love the morning. You wouldn't even talk to them. I actually, and I know this is rude, this is crazy, but it's what I've done. I was at preaching the church over in the other building, and it was a precious brother, that I knew for a fact his family wouldn't have nothing to do with him when he's alive. And when they come in, so, I told the funeral director we were talking about earlier, I told that funeral director, I said, if they start acting stupid, I'm finna shut it down. So he got up under his own volition and said, Pastor said no emotions. That ain't what I said. But, you know, I'm okay with it. So I got up and I elaborated in my message. I said, the sad part about it is when this brother was alive, me and his girlfriend were the only one to even go visit him. When he's in the hospital for 7 days, nobody, not one of y'all, came and saw him. And now you're going to act like you just can't live life without him? Now, I know that's harsh, and I'm not going to do that at your funeral, probably. Maybe. But it never ceases to amaze me how people can be so hypocritical. Man, they act one way here and another way there. And I mean, I've told this story about I pastored somewhere, my very first church, and guy had been saved and a deacon for 25 years. And one of the guys, he passed away. And one of the guys that worked with him for over 30 years came and started hearing all the stuff he had done around the church and how good of a man he was. He told me our church, he said, I didn't even know he went to church, much less a deacon. He worked with him for 30 years. Never knew he was a deacon. You're preaching your funeral. We're going to get up and say nice stuff about you that may not even be true. Because we don't. All we know is what you show us. All we know is what you want us to see. Everybody gets religion when they find out I'm a preacher. Hello? I mean, I've had wall-eyed drunks start quoting scripture when they found out I was a preacher. So, what I want to do is I want to bring your attention today. What is your legacy? I want a legacy that lasts. And a legacy that lasts is not about money, not about land or homes or how many people you know. A legacy that lasts is what you've done for Christ. Who was it? I can't remember. Winston Churchill, maybe. C.S. Lewis. I can't remember one of them that I like to read after. He said that life is so short that at the end of it, we realize we wasted most of it. Only one life, the poem said, 'twill soon be passed. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that is the truth. Amen. You know, I used to think there was a time in my life I thought, boy, I need to leave my kids money. And I've seen way too many. They'll blow through that so fast. You know why? Because it didn't cost them nothing. Money don't mean nothing to your kids. I'm saying it's wrong to leave them stuff. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if that's your legacy, you ain't got one. If all you leave them is stuff, then your legacy is going to be gone in about a year. Amen. Or before that. If you leave them land, that's awesome, but that's not a legacy because they're going to sell that. It don't mean to them what it did you. So what are you leaving your children in a legacy? The only legacy that will last is one that's done for Christ. And that doesn't mean if you're a preacher, because being a preacher doesn't mean a legacy. Being a singer doesn't mean a legacy. That's not a legacy. Those are abilities. Abilities are not legacy. Legacy is what they know about you when you're in the dark closet that nobody else can see. Whew. Now I want to preach to you. I've never preached from this scripture. I told somebody before church, I'm going to preach about you today. And at first, the eyes got big, and then they thought, well, can't be too bad. He knows everything, so it can't be too bad. And I wasn't saying I was going to be bad, mean, or I did it just to scare her, really. Sorry, Amy, I didn't mean to scare you. But. There's nothing bad at all. But if we're not careful, what we do is we get so wrapped up in the trial today that we forget we're not always going to be in this trial. But how you act in this trial may be all they remember of you. I can tell you for a fact how my dad would handle stuff. He'd stick his hand through walls. He'd bust things. He'd whoop us kids. He'd beat on my mom. I'm not proud of that. But that's the legacy he left. Hard worker, yeah. If we want to try to find something good in him, he was a hard worker. He taught me how to work hard. But he never taught me how to be a man. He never taught me how to be a husband. He did not leave that legacy. And the only thing harder than growing up in a home like that is trying to change that home when you have your own. And it's hard, bud. Now, you can sit there, and I'm not just bragging on me. There's been gods of people who have done it. But I'm telling you, one of the hardest lessons I ever had to learn was how not to be like my daddy and still be loving and still be the husband I need to be, the daddy I need to be. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've failed gobs of times. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But if we're not careful, we also take the excuse of, well, I didn't have an example, so I'm just going to do what I think I need to do. Well, you coward. Stand up. Be what God called you to be, not what your family's always been. Amen. This week I had one of my cousins call me and ask for prayer about something. And so I was talking to him about it. And he said, John, he said, I wish I knew how to be a better daddy. And I said, oh, Bubba, how many times have I said that? How many times have I prayed that? Help me be a better daddy. Help me be a better grandpa now. Amen. Amen. And I know there's lines there that have got to be changed. I get that. I understand that you go from a daddy to a grandpa, that you can't do them both the same. I get that. I couldn't be a husband like I was a daddy. There's got to be a difference. But if we're not careful, what we do is we take, okay, this is where I'm going to be because I've always been that way. That's where my family's always been. Your family's always been jacked up. Why would you want to be jacked up? Recognize that God's calling you to a better legacy than the one that was left you. Boy, that's tough stuff. I understand that. It's a lifelong lesson you have to learn from. You're never going to get it figured out. But you need to do better. And for those of you that got parents here today, or you've got kids here today, I'm not saying you did everything wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But surely we want our kids to do better than we did. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. We need to be trying to be a springboard for our children to do better, go further. Amen. Do higher. Amen. Do more. Do whatever. Have a better legacy than I did. If my children had to have a better legacy than me, I was not going to have it any other way. Because my kids don't know what it is to be around drunks. I grew up around them my whole life. I'm comfortable with them. That's how bad that is. I'm as comfortable with them as I am with y'all. Let that sink in. In fact, I'm more comfortable around them sometimes because them looks y'all give me right now. Amen. And if we're not careful, what we do is we look back and we say, well, okay, I want to change that. I want to say, well, but I don't want to make my parents look bad. Man, forget how your parents look. They did the best they could then. You do better now. Let me prove to you. Amen. Let me prove this to you. A legacy that lasts. Amen. All right, Brother Jamie, 2 Timothy. I've never read this before. Paul's lining out Timothy here, and he's working, trying to encourage him to become who he needs to be. And he uses a phrase here that I absolutely love. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's talking to Timothy. That is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother. Wow. Paul knew three generations here. And he realized that his grandmother, Lois, had an unfeigned faith. And thy mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker, partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Basically what Paul's saying here is, because I'm going to lay my hands on, God's going to use you. You're going to be a minister of the gospel. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to be a church starter. You're going to be a pastor. You're going to do all these things. But remember, you're not the one who started this. This got passed down from your grandma. Woo! Man, if you're sitting here today and you've had godly grandparents, you ought to be so thankful for them. They made your life so much easier. You don't even realize it, but they have prayed stuff for you that God is bringing into your life now that you didn't pray about. You didn't have no effect on it at all. Your parents have done the very same thing. Amen. They have prayed on you. I keep looking over Brother Sister Long. Ain't no telling the prayers they prayed for Peyton. And now it's paying off. Praise God. Amen. Because he's in church. He's doing good. Amen. He's taking a part. He's a rock solid part of the church. Amen. That didn't happen on Peyton's due. That was because his parents and grandparents, probably, I don't know his grandparents, but I'm telling you, amen, it's a generational thing. That's legacy. That's what legacy's all about. It's not about Peyton, little T growing up thinking, boy, my daddy can sing. That's not it. It's about him growing up saying, I remember every Sunday morning we were in church. I never questioned where we were going to be on Sunday morning. We were going to church. That's legacy. Amen. Kara, and I'm not, man, if you think I'm bragging on me, I'm not. I made more mistakes than most people because I'm literally a first generation Christian. Nobody else in my family has ever been in church at all. You talking about make mistakes? I didn't know no better. I didn't have a mama or a daddy or a grandma or a grandpa to pop me on the head. Now, I had some. They weren't real grandma and grandpa, but they were older folks in the church that wore me out because I needed it. Hallelujah. I'm a product now. I want to encourage you with this because there's some of you right here that are sitting here thinking, well, I don't have any kids here. Yes, you do. They may not be biological, but in Christ, you got kids you need to be helping. You need to be praying for. This will be part of your legacy. What people at church think of you matters too. And if all they remember about you is, boy, she chewed on me every time that she got a chance. Nobody wanted to talk to her because all she ever talked about was how bad things were. You're leaving a legacy. Come on, he got quiet again. Y'all was helping me for a minute. If all you can do is tell them kids how they ought to do better, love on them every now and then. Man, I don't want to be remembered as the pastor who loved the bus people. I mean, I do. But that's not what I want to be remembered by. I want to be remembered by the guy that it didn't matter where you were, I'd come help you no matter what it was. You could come to me with any kind of prayer request and I wasn't going to judge you. I'm going to help you pray. I was coming home yesterday and, I don't know how much this I can tell, so let me be careful. His daddy was a big wig in an organization, and so he kind of was always, limelight was always on him, and he was always thought well of. And then a couple years ago, he got sideways with some other important people in that organization, and he got blackballed, even though his daddy was the head man. He got blackballed, and people talked about his daddy. And when I heard about it, I called him. I said, hey, man, how are you? I'm not good. I said, won't you come to Level Ground? He lives 14 hours away. I said, won't you come to Level Ground? We'll love on you. Oh, John, he said, I think I'm just going to quit altogether. I said, oh, no, you ain't. I'll come to Ohio and get you, cuz. He said that I made him mad because I called him the next day. For 7 days straight, I called him every day. I told him, I'm praying for you. Come see me. Come see me. He called me yesterday, and his daddy passed away a few weeks ago. Said he's going to preach somewhere. For the first time in about 3 years, almost 4 years, he's going to preach somewhere. He said, I just thought I'd let you know this is your fault. I said, praise God, I'll take that every day, buddy. I don't mind being my fault. This is good stuff. He called me this morning. He said, Brother John, man. He called me this morning and said, I have never seen God move like that. He said it was so powerful, I stepped back and said, I know this ain't me, God. I said, okay, his name's Brian. I said, Brian, remember that feeling, because that's where you need to stay. Because anything you do from now on ain't you. You need to give God the glory for it. Amen. He said, I want you to know, you being my friend is the only reason I tried again. That ain't true, but I knew what he was saying. You know what that means to me? I hope he'll remember that when I die. That's what I want to be remembered by. Not, oh boy, John, boy, what a preacher. Man, who cares how people preach? That's not the point. The point is I want to be remembered by somebody, amen, that was always with his hand out, trying to help, trying to encourage, trying to lift up. Amen, I have failed more than anybody. But when I lay out here, amen, I ain't going to lay out here, but when they lay me out, amen. I'll explain that later. Amen. But when I die from this world, I want people to say, hey, you know what? He was a messed up dude, but man, he loved people. Because I want to leave that kind of legacy. Why? Because that's the only legacy that lasts. Amen. I won't say this, and I'm just trying to prove a point. I'm not talking about me. I don't feel this way. Brother Sammy come to me a couple weeks ago, and he said, you've been holding out on us. I said, what now? Man, I think I put it on the line every time. You know, I don't know. He said, no, you've been holding out on us. I said, what are you talking about? He got one of our CDs, and he said, there's a song on there. You really put it all in, and you don't do that in church. Well, first of all, if I did that in church, everybody in here would say, you're a show-off. Some of y'all would. You know, and so I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to put myself in a position to be talked about. Hallelujah. But second of all, there's things you do on recording you don't do live. That's just the way that works. Amen. So, and I thanked him for it, and I appreciate him feeling that way. I don't feel that way at all. Amen. I will leave this world knowing, wishing I could have done better. And that's the honest truth. That's my heart's desire, is to do better. No matter what I'm doing, I want to do better. And I think that is part of the desire to grow in grace. When you get a desire that you want to do better, God will help you grow where you need to be. But if you think you got it all figured out, you pretty much do. And that's a sad place to be, because people are going to stand up here and they're going to say, oh man, what a Christian he was. He lived, oh, he lived. And you might not even made it, because all you showed us is what you wanted us to see. Come on, that's preaching right there. And if we're not careful, again, you're preaching your funeral right now. All I'm going to get up and do is tell some stories. Amen. Now, some folks are easy. The more we were involved in James and Rose's life so much that on a day-to-day basis, I knew what they were doing pretty much every day of his life. Hey, I knew, because, and he knew what I was doing. Now, our wives didn't always know what we were doing. And that was a good thing. But I remember, and this is crazy, but I was thinking about this week. Me and Brother Jamie were on our way to Crystal and Scott's wedding when Rose called me. But before that morning, I got up and I was praying for the Hamilton family and praying for everybody, you know. And the thought hit me, hey, I didn't talk to James yesterday. I better call him. I think when I get in a truck with Jamie, I'll call James. Because it's one of the few days me and him didn't talk. That's why he passed, because he should have checked with me. That's a joke, by the way. Anyway. And then she called me and of course told me. And I got to thinking, as me and Jamie turned around and came back across it, I got to thinking about all the things I was going to be able to tell on him. Man, I couldn't have got into him. There wasn't no way. There wasn't no way. Amen. The stories I could tell. And really, that's what a preacher does. He gets up and talks about the relationship he had with that person. That's what preaching a funeral is all about. Now, when I don't know somebody, then I just read scriptures and give them what God, you know, straight from the book. That's the best way to do it. But preaching somebody, it was the hardest funeral I've ever preached, but it was the easiest funeral I've ever preached. It was hard because he was my best friend, but it was easy because I knew so much about him. You know, I could tell all kinds of, I knew about the times he'd call me late at night and say, pray for my girls. I got a burden for them. Nobody else. Me and him would pray right then. He'd send me a text. Man, I'm glad we don't He sent me some crazy texts too, but don't get me wrong. He was, when Rose went through his phone, I'm sure she was shocked. But anyway, because he sent me some crazy stuff. One time he said, and this is just James, you just haven't, he sent me the rear end of a baboon. And this was the caption. Thought of your face. That was James. I wanted to cuss so bad. Amen. I didn't, of course, but that was James. He was just the funniest person ever. Amen. And we loved harassing each other back and forth. But anyway, I said all that to say this. Can you imagine you passing away? I want you to think, and this is morbid. I know nobody likes to think it, but you're getting closer to it. You need to be thinking more about it. You're leaving this world. We all are. What legacy are you leaving? Well, Daddy was a hard worker, but I never saw him pray. Come on, it got quiet. Daddy taught me how to pay my bills. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good stuff. But what about the spiritual side? Has anybody ever walked in and caught you praying? Has anybody ever saw you reading your Bible? Have you ever made the statement, we're going to church if it here looks ever cow in Texas? Because there's going to be a lot of times things are going to come against you. Good excuses not to go. But when you give in to an excuse, you're setting an example for your kids. And then believe it or not, they're going to find all kinds of excuses. Come on, it's quiet in here. What are we setting down as a rock solid legacy example? I said this earlier and I'll finish it now. Kara got up at church, her church a year or so ago, and their church rather, and said, I'm sitting in the audience. I'm fixing to preach. Man, this is so humbling. She said, I want to thank my dad for changing the trajectory of our family. Because nobody else before him had ever went to church. I don't know anything but church now. She's in ministry, doing more ministry than most preachers I know. Amen. It's amazing what she's doing all through all the stuff God got going. They wrote a book. She's doing all kinds of crazy stuff, man. Awesome stuff that I couldn't do. That don't offend me. Man, I'm so proud of her, man, doing great. Tori, she's got all kinds of stuff going on at her church. Amen. They did don't get no crazy ideas. We ain't doing this. They did a black foam room Saturday. You ought to see the pictures of them boys. It's crazy. They're so involved in church. You know why? Because somebody, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm saying somebody made up their mind they were going to change the legacy. Instead of the last September when I got with my cousins, we all got talking about our moms and our dads, and all of us collectively couldn't understand how we even lived through it. That's not an exaggeration. I'm telling you, kids ought not be raised the way we were raised. They'd all get drunk, they'd fight, and us kids were just sitting around trying to stay out of the way. There were times, and I didn't realize this, but there were times people slept out in their car. Kids slept out in their cars so we wouldn't have to be among the fights. Amen. And the parents wake up the next morning and not know where the kids are. Because we hiding from them. That's not a legacy. I mean, it's a legacy. But it's not a good one. Not something you... I only have one aunt left, and she's not in her right mind anymore. And I think that generation will be glad when they all pass. So maybe we can forget about some of that stuff. And I know that sounds bad, but that's the legacy they left us. And so when I start talking about my kids not knowing anything about that, that's amazing. That's life changing. Now, if my kids, and by God's help and grace, it has nothing to do with me, but if my kids don't know anything, where do my grandkids get to go? Where do my great-grandkids get to go? I can't even imagine this, but can you believe if we all still keep trying to do right, there's going to come a time when nobody in my family remembers drunks Whoa. I can't fathom that, because that's all I remember. I'm saying all that to say this. What legacy are you leaving? You know, here you go. You're thinking, well, we don't have as bad a family as you. Thank God for that. Somebody told me this morning they were having some problem with some family members, and their family members are all fighting and bickering amongst themselves. And this person looked up at me and said, I thought about your Martin family. Praise God. That's terrible. Hey, man, I hate to be used as an example like that, but there you go. That's what. But there's coming a day when nobody will be able to say that anymore if we keep doing it. Why? Because of legacy. So let me encourage you. What legacy are you leaving? You may not have had a grandparent that was full of faith. You may not have had a mother that was full of faith. I didn't. But I decided in my life I was going to be the grandpa. I was going to be the daddy. I was going to be the brother. I was going to be the pastor. Amen. Whoever I needed to be, I was going to be that person. And we're going to live a legacy for Christ. Amen. Not because we're looking for a show or anything, but because I want to change our future. How do you change your future? The next decision. The next decision you make is how you change it. I'm not going to get mad and put my hand to a fist, my fist to a wall anymore. I'm not going, ladies! It's not Mother's Day, so I'm going to get you. Don't give him the cold shoulder because you don't agree with his decision. Change that. Change your decisions. Change your legacy. Let your legacy go from stubborn, redneck, stiff neck, in my own way, in my own time, to a mother of Israel. How do you do that? The next time you want to bow up, bow down. Ooh, I felt that. The next time you want to bow up, bow down. Because humbleness is where it's at. That's men or women. Amen. I want to close with this scripture. Joshua. Joshua's standing before the children of Israel, and they just come out of Egypt. Moses just died. They're going into the Canaan land, and man, it ain't nothing but milk and honey from here on out. Except they're going to have to fight for everything they get. I got news for you. You're in Canaan land, but you're going to have to fight for everything you get. There's a lot for you. It's going to cost you something. You know what their legacy is? You know what when they came out of Egypt, man, God was on their side. God was showing them miracles, things were happening, and we had to get rid of a whole generation to stop the legacy. Come on. You know why? Because as bad as it was, man, they were crying and whining about how bad Egypt was. They were 3 days out, started crying and whining because, why we got to eat this? I wish we were back in Egypt. Man, come on. And as bad as that sounds, that's what a lot of our legacy looks like right now. I want my legacy to be Christ-like. So God got rid of a whole generation. Now Moses is gone and Joshua stepped up and he said, choose you this day. That's what you got to do today. Choose you this day. I'm talking to people that are trying to live right, going to church, doing good. I'm asking you right now to make a choice that your legacy is going to be different than the one you got. The one that you were handed is going to be different than the one you're handing off. I know I talk about my past a lot, and the reason I do is so that you will understand that I've not lived a perfect life, and that I'm not proud of that at all. In fact, there's been many times people have questioned me and said, man, isn't that embarrassing? Absolutely it is. But if somebody can learn from my mistakes, then maybe my mistakes can be used for something good. That's my whole mindset. My story for His glory. But if we're not careful, what we do is we get happy because we're not like we used to be instead of becoming who God wants us to be. Man, I'm glad you're out of Egypt, but are you willing to fight for what you deserve in Canaan? Because ain't nobody going to hand you a better day. You got to make a better day. Ain't nobody going to hand you a better life. You got to make a better life. Ain't nobody going to hand you an easy way in Jesus. You're going to fight for everything you got. Amen. If you ain't never fought in prayer, you ain't got no idea what I'm talking about. But there's some of us in this building right now. God's gave us promises, but it ain't just going to float into your hands. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to seek. You got to work. You got to talk to people. You got to let your story be known. You got to, in the embarrassing moments, you got to glorify God. And in that, you can create a different legacy. Amen. I hate it. Amen. I was thinking about this the other day. Let me read this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. I like that. Just be honest. Be real with God. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. This is the statement you got to make up in your own mind every day. But as for me and my house. Now, my house don't look like it did when me and my wife got married. Me and my wife got married, just me and her. And then we started having kids. Things got crazy. Now I got grandkids and son-in-laws. Help us, Lord. And a dog. Well, I could tell you some stories, but I won't. And if we're not careful, we say, okay, Lord, I said that 30 years ago. But if we're not careful in that aspect, that didn't cover what you're facing today. My house looks completely different than it did when I first said, as for me and my house. So today I'm saying, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do everything. I can't make people in my house serve right, but my house is going to do right. I'm going to have everything in my house. You get it? My heart, my house, my soul. I'm going to do everything I can to serve the Lord. And hopefully by that example, you know as well as I do, kids going to do what kids do. I'm going to let that settle in on you, because y'all got crazy kids like I got. There comes a time in their life they're going to do what they want to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if there ever comes a time they want to come back into the house of God, they're going to know they're welcome here. Amen? That doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. You know that. But if we're not careful, we get it in our mindset, all right, I made up my mind, I'm going to serve God, now everything's good. Monday's coming. Amen. So what are you going to do when Monday hits you square in the face? You going to act like your daddy? You going to act like your mama? And I don't know your mama and daddies. I'm not ridiculing. I'm just telling you. You got to break the chain. You can't have legacy if it's linked to generational problems. Woo! I need to preach a whole message on generational sins. I believe in them because I've had to fight them. I had a guy tell me, I don't believe in that. I said, well, then you don't believe what the Word says. Amen. Because the Bible says a sin will be passed down. And you know what? This is the saying. It used to run in my family until it ran into me. Me and Jesus got that took care of. Hello. Amen. I made up my mind alcohol wasn't going to rule my family anymore. I made up my mind being angry and hateful and mean wasn't going to be in my family anymore. Amen. I made up my mind several of these other things that my daddy faced and tried to pass on me, put on me, wasn't going to be in my family anymore. Amen. You know what? And that's by the grace of God. It's not nothing to do with me except that I made up my mind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Last, I hadn't said this, Brother Jamie, so don't worry about putting it up. But John chapter 4 tells us about Jesus going by a well. He sends his disciples on in town to buy food and drink. And he goes by the well and he meets a woman there that nobody else wants to be around. Nobody else wants to hang out with because she had a bad reputation. Jesus talked to her about the living water and gave her the living water. And then he got a little more personal with her. He said, go get your husband. She said, oh, Lord, I have none. He said, "Ooh, you said right. You've had five. And the one you're with now ain't yours. How would you like to hear that from somebody who didn't know you but knew you?" But, you know, I just don't believe he said it in an accusation way. I don't believe he said it in a judgmental way. I believe he said it to let her know who he was. Why you feel that way, Brother John? Because she got so excited about what he was telling her that she went and preached the gospel. Come see a man! Because when you really put it all under the blood, when you give it all to Jesus, you're done with it. You don't mind people talking about it. It's when you're still living in it that you get offended. The reason some of y'all aggravated at me now, because I'm talking about generational stuff going on in your life and you ain't got rid of it yet. Because when you get rid of it, you won't talk about the goodness of God. Come see a man who told me all I've ever done. Woo! Amen. Everybody else in town knew. What good's it going to be to hide it? Everybody knew already. But she needed to let them know that she had met a man that is amazing. So let me ask you a question. Her legacy started then. Not when she was born. She messed up to that point. But she met Jesus. That's where legacy starts. Where Jesus is. So let me question this as I close. I'm not asking for a show of hands. Please do not raise your hand. But how many of you in this building realize I want to leave a better legacy for my family than what I got? Don't raise your hand. I'm not asking for that. I just want this to come to your mind. How many of you can look back over your life and say, you know, if I hadn't done that, my life would be better. I hope I can live in such a way that my kids don't do that. Let me tell you something I've learned the hard way. Telling them not to do it, don't do it. That, I'm trying to be careful not to get anything we talked about this morning. But that dumb saying, do as I say, not as I do, that ain't never been lived by anybody. Because they're going to do what you do. From experience, man, from experience, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what alcohol would do to families, to people, to lives. And when I got out of church, that's the first thing I ran to. Alcohol. Knowing. Now that's the definition of idiot right there. Knowing what they were doing and run to it because I didn't have any power not to. Woo! I was under the yoke of sin. So I did what sinners do. I chased after my family heritage. Wow. Maybe you need to recognize some things in your life and call them out in the name of Jesus. Maybe you need, you know what? There are so many people in here right now that are great people, no problem at all. But you know as well as I do, there are things in your life you need to get a hold of. If you don't, that's what's going to be remembered. I'm going to close with this. Man had passed away. Pastor got up and was talking about, man, what a great guy he was. And I mean, just so on and so forth. What a great guy he was. Mama and all the kids were sitting on the front row, and Mama reached over and punched the oldest boy and said, go up there and make sure that's your daddy. And that's funny. God help us. Not to live one life in this, for here at church and another life at home. Because that's the legacy that's going to be remembered. Not your hypocritical side. Ooh. I said something a minute ago that I felt dig just a little, and so I'm gonna elaborate on it as I'm closing. I've never one time ever read my Bible or prayed hoping somebody would catch me. Never one time. If you're doing it for that reason, that's wrong. But I can't tell you the times my kids have walked in on me. My grandkids walked in on me. My wife walked in on me praying and reading. You know what? And I may be completely off, but I believe that's one thing they'll remember about me is that I always try to put God first in everything I did. And you don't do it for that reason. That's not why you do it. But man, what a legacy. If my kids and my grandkids can say, hey, there's one thing. Now, Grandpop was, he's pretty mean. He's pretty tough. He didn't cuss no slack. I don't. Amen. I told Sailor the other day, she had hurt herself. The boys and her were wrestling. And I told her, I said, baby, if you're going to wrestle with boys, you got to be a boy. I know that ain't good advice, but that's the only way to live. If you're going to live through it, you got to be tough. And Hudson said, you know what Pop says? If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. So that's what I'm passing on to my grandkids. If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. If you're going to serve God, you got to be tough. If you're going to leave a legacy, you're going to have to go through some stuff. And you got to be tough. Don't quit serving God just because things get bad. Don't quit coming to church just because you get sniffles or your toe starts hurting. Amen. You're leaving a legacy. Well, I would go, but I coughed once, and I'm pretty sure it's COVID. Really? Hello? If we're not careful, this is it. If we're not careful, we're leaving a legacy we don't want. We won't like. We wish we would. If you could sit at your own funeral, you'd be embarrassed of things people were thinking. Because we're going to try to brag on you. That's what a preacher does. I have never one time ever went to a funeral. Maybe you have. You've been to a lot too. I've never one time been to a funeral where a preacher got up and said, I'm going to tell you, it's a sorry sucker. I'm telling you, if he owed you money, he probably owed you money your whole life. I've never one time went to a funeral where somebody was like, honest. Because there have been a few sorry suckers that died. Not nobody here akin to us, but. What if somebody got up and told the truth? Well, he was a good guy, but boy, he cussed a little. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Come on now. Come on, get quiet on me now. What if somebody really got up and told who you really were? Would that be embarrassing to you? Then change it. Be known by your generosity, by your goodness, by your mercy, by your love, by your compassion. Instead of, I'll tell you one thing, you better not cross him. He don't forget. That hit home. You better not make him mad. He'll loud punch you. Now he'll go preach on Sunday morning, but he'll slap the snot out of you on a Monday. That ain't right. God, help us. I want to leave a legacy that lasts. I want generations from now not to be talking about what a great guy John was, but what a godly man and example he tried to set. Because everybody knows I'm a failure, and I get that. I got that. I'm it. But if people can know that I'm trying to do better, my heart's desire is to do better, then maybe there'll come a day where somebody will say, maybe, I don't know, but maybe somebody will say, I knew your grandpa. He prayed for me when I needed help. I can't think of a better legacy. I know in our human self, we won't say, well, he left me $100,000. Well, not only is that not true, that's a dream. Because I ain't even looking to do that. If I can leave a Christian heritage, if I can leave, man, I tell you the one thing he taught me is how to pray. Every time I went to him with a problem, he'd break out that old Bible and he'd say, let's figure out what the Bible says about it. That's legacy. I don't know if board members, those of you that were here when we started, I want to talk to you for just a second here. Do you realize the legacy you are involved in starting Level Ground? I know this is foolish because some of us were older when we started it. That's going to be the best legacy you got, brother. And not saying the only one, but when people generations from now are coming to Level Ground, they're going to say, yeah, Tom and Jamie and Sammy, man, they put it on the line to start something. They wasn't even sure. They followed that crazy one-armed dude. And I speak, this is the most humbling thing that was ever said to me during that whole time. Sammy come to me one time. I said, brother, how you feel about this? He said, I'm with you. And I said, well, how do you feel? He said, I'm with you. I said, I know, but what about starting a church? How do you feel? He said, how do you feel? I said, well, I'm going to start a church. He said, I'm with you. Man, the confidence he had in me. That's the most humbling thing I've ever had. Tom got a big old check. Now, no, he's not rich. They suffered for it. But he wrote a big old check to start things. Why? Because we had to have electricity. Jamie wrote a check. I mean, these two guys, I'm glad I didn't have to write a check. Amen. Amen. We wouldn't be here now if it had been up to me for the money. Amen. God brought the money in from somebody else. I did all the work. Amen. Amen. Not all of it. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. But the legacy we're leaving, I really believe that God, you're going to have part of souls that are touched here. You're going to have part of souls that are touched. Some of you that started this church with us, you're going to have parts of the souls that are blessed and touched and saved here. That's legacy. And we ain't perfect, man. We ain't nothing special at all. God uses broken jars. Come on. And we have messed up a bunch of folks. Hallelujah. And I know that. But if our legacy, the only thing that's ever said about us is they took a chance and started a church and I got help. My grandkids got help there. Wow. What a legacy. I doubt anybody's going to remember you were at the meal for 37, 42 years, whatever it was. But they'll remember you helped start church because that's a legacy that lasts. Everyone stand.